You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north in Aria, down south Eilat, and all the great cities in between, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And today we have a jam-packed show. We have a great guest, Tom Noy, coming to us from Indy Insider Notre Dame. He comes on board talking to us about Bonzi Colson, one of Maccabi Tel Aviv's brand new forwards. He just signed up, and Tom Noy, boy, does he give us a breakdown about what Bonzi Colson brings to the table. Of course, he also played over the last few years in Europe, most recently with Pinar Karshiaka, and also won the Basketball Champions League MVP award in 2021 when he was with Strasbourg. After that, Moshe Halichman comes and joins the program. We talk all about the Israeli basketball scene. First, we talk about the Israel national team, and they are playing Poland and Estonia World Cup qualifying, two games that Israel really needs to win if they want to make any type of noise in advancing to the World Cup. They play in Poland Thursday night, at home against Estonia on Sunday night. After that, we talk about Maccabi Tel Aviv signings, and there was a ton of them, from the Israelis, Guy Pnini, Rafi Menko, to all the imports that are coming in and all the rumors from Austin Hollins, from, of course, Bonzi Colson, Darren Hilliard, and all the rumored players, Josh Nebo, TJ Leaf, and Lorenzo Brown and Wade Baldwin as well. We talk about Oz Blazer moving to Hapoel Jerusalem. We talk about all the other rumors, other signings in Israeli hoops. We have a great time in the program. If you like this program, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us. Leave us a 5-star rating and write a good review. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Check us out at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and Hebrew. We are the only Israeli website to bring it to you in both languages. But right now, we welcome on board Tom Noy of the ndinsider.com. It's a great conversation we have about Bonzi Colson. Enjoy the program.
You're listening to The Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball all the way up north to Nahariya, down south to Eilat, and all the great cities in between, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. Happy to have on board a return guest, Tom Noy. Of course, he is from ND Insider. Been covering Notre Dame hoops for 24 years, I believe. We're going to your 25th or so. Quite unbelievable stuff. And we have in Israel, Tom, a brand new Notre Dame grad by the name of Bonzi Colson. And I'm sure that he's a familiar name to so many people here in Israel because of his exploits in the Basketball Champions League. Obviously, he's been a top talent in Europe over the last couple of years. People are familiar, of course, also with Notre Dame, and the fact that he also played a little bit in the NBA with the Milwaukee Bucks. Last season, of course, played for Karşıyaka in Turkey. Before that, Strasbourg, Darüşşafaka in Turkey as well. Hit a big game-winning shot in the opening day of the Basketball Champions League against Hapoel Jerusalem. The Sports Rabbi was at the game, took the ball down the court. One of the Jerusalem players missed a free throw, took the ball down the court, lined up Itai Segev, the center, took a nice game-winning triple from the top of the arc, and the rest is history. It was a really exciting, really fun, and I was like, wow, this is why Bonzi Colson had won the MVP the prior year. So, Tom, you're a man that covered him for a number of seasons in Notre Dame. What can you tell us about Bonzi Colson? Seems like a great guy.
Well, and like you said, I've covered Notre Dame men's basketball for 24 years. They don't come any better, and they haven't come any better through the doors of Purcell Pavilion than Bonzi Colson. Like, forget all the stats and the basketball stuff. He's just such a quality guy. Like, it's especially from a media standpoint. What do you need? You need anything? Everything okay? He was always open to talk. I remember the one time he came back when he was still trying to figure out, where he was going to go basketball wise after he had broken his foot for the second time after his senior season. And he was playing in a pickup game, a Saturday afternoon pickup game before a football game at Notre Dame, which is what they usually do there on weekends. And he's out there running a court, and he winds up getting elbowed. and he gets a nice gash over his eye. And I'm like, well, so much for Bonds. I'm not going to be able to talk to Bonds today. He goes back in the trainer's room. They finish the pickup game. He comes out. He's got a bandage over his eye. He's got like four stitches in his eyelid, eyebrow. And he's like, you want to sit and talk right now? So like that's the kind of guy he is. He's always thinking, what can I do to help somebody? What can I do to help you do your job? And it's funny and it's kind of ironic that you mentioned the highlight of Bonzi and what he did, because ever since Mike Bray started recruiting him, and this goes way back to his AAU days when he was playing out with a team in New England, it was like, you don't know what kind of a player he is. Is he a forward? Is he a guard? Is he a combo guy? And it was like, it doesn't matter. When it comes to Bonzi Colson, he's a basketball player, and he's just going to figure out ways to make winning basketball plays like he did with the game-winning shot.
Yeah, I mean, his senior season in Notre Dame, 2017-18, averaged 19.7 points, 10.1 rebounds. I mean, the guy is a double-double machine. Had a cup of coffee with the Bucks, but if you look at his international stats, for example, last season, over across three different competitions he played in with Pinar Karshiaka, played 33 minutes a game. So he's playing the majority of the game, averaging almost 16 points, over seven rebounds a game. The guy seems to just know how to put up numbers. He's going to put up the points. I also know that he, you know, we talked about a good guy, right? I know that he has just finished a couple-day training camp, I believe, that he was holding for a local community. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, this is a guy that I think that Maccabi Tel Aviv wanted to bring in. Obviously, you know, being a star player is something that they need. This is going to be a step up for him, obviously, going from the Basketball Champions League to the EuroLeague, which is arguably the second best league after the NBA. But also a guy that's going to be a good locker room guy. The press officer can roll him out for any type of pregame and postgame interviews. Or the Maccabi Tel Aviv always love to have their go-to guys. So Bonzi looks like he's going to be that guy, Tom.
And he's a guy that, like, he could be really bitter about where his basketball career went, because you mentioned his senior season, but his senior season was derailed with a broken foot. Like, you know, I always remember 2017-18, Bonds' senior year. It's November of 2017. They win the Maui Invitational, which is still probably the most prestigious preseason tournament that we have over here at the start of the college basketball season. They win Maui. They get to number five in the country. They're going up to Michigan State to play a primetime ACC Big Ten matchup game against Michigan State. They get blown out that day at Breslin Center. But the bigger story was, that was the night that Bonzi's left foot started hurting, and they didn't really know what was wrong with it. He wound up eventually breaking that left foot twice during his senior season. And this was a guy, had he stayed healthy his senior year, he played 21 games his senior year. He did put up stats, like you said, just about 20 points a game, 10 rebounds a game. But had Bonzi Colson stayed healthy his senior year, instead of missing like the key 3 months, January, February, a little bit of March, if he had stayed healthy, he would have been probably the ACC player of the year. He would have been a first or second team All-American, and he probably would have been a first round NBA draft pick. Like, he had everything going for him in front of him.
Those injuries are a killer. It's a killer.
It was unbelievable. Like, it was all there for him. And then all of a sudden it gets wiped away because he breaks his foot in January. He comes back in March, plays a really a meaningless NIT game against Penn State here at Notre Dame, and winds up in the second half breaking his foot again, which basically wiped out any chance of him getting a really good look from the NBA. So he could be a really bitter guy about that, but he said, you know what? Things happen for a reason. I'm going to rehab. I'm going to get back. And if I have to go make my name in places like Turkey, France, and Israel, then I'm going to go play basketball. And I'm going to play basketball at the highest level that I can. And this shows with him landing in this spot that he's in right now, because it's like, I could still be trying to fight for maybe a two-way contract in the NBA. The NBA, that would be great. But if I'm going to make my name and I have to go do it in Europe, I'm going to go do it in Europe, and I'm going to play the best of my ability.
Of course, we're under with Tom Noy and theinsider.com. Tom, you know, so I think a lot of people here are really looking forward to greeting him when the players arrive in August. One of the concerns that people do have is that, he's kind of a funny size. And his body is just weird. I don't know. You know, you look at him, he's 6 foot six, he's about 230 pounds or so. He has a big upper body. One of the concerns is playing against bigger guys in the EuroLeague, he's going to have a tough time with. You know, what are your thoughts about that? Can he adjust? Can he adapt? You know, the Basketball Champions League, there are some big guys, but the EuroLeague's a totally different cup of tea.
Absolutely, he can adjust. And I like to – like, it's not a fair comparison, but if you want to look at a guy whose career was similar to Bonzi Colson, he was the Charles Barkley of Notre Dame. Like, he's not necessarily of that skill and talent level and Hall of Fame abilities. But when Bonzi Colson rolled in here as a freshman, he wore black glasses. He was about 30 pounds overweight. It looked like he didn't spend any time on conditioning. And you kind of looked at him and said, how is this guy ever going to make it in the Atlantic Coast Conference? Like, I think at that point they listed him as 6'6", but he was, or 6'7". He was closer to 6'6". He might have been really closer to 6'5", 6'4", but he had a 7'2" wingspan. And I think that was the one thing that Mike Bray really intrigued him. He's like, he's undersized. He doesn't really look like he's a power forward, but man, that wingspan, I'm just going to plug him into the lineup and see where he goes. And there was one game, I think it was his freshman year, when Notre Dame had the team of teams. It was 2014-15 when Notre Dame went 32-6. They won the Atlantic Coast Conference Championship. They went to the Elite Eight. They almost beat an undefeated Kentucky team to get to the Final Four. And Bonzi Colson was a key guy on that team because in early January, they went to Georgia Tech for a road trip to play an ACC game. And their starting center, Zach August, had to be left back on campus because he had an academic issue to take care of. So he wasn't available. That opened up a spot for Bonzi. Like, Bonzi was on the fringe of the rotation November, December, early January. And Mike Bray said, I need somebody with size. We're plugging Bonzi Colson into the center spot to make his first career start. And lo and behold, like the early in the first half, maybe early in the second, he takes an elbow to the nose from a guy that was about 6'10", 6'11", from Georgia Tech. He goes out, the trainer plugs his nose up. It's still bleeding. He's got a bunch of cotton in his nostrils. He just goes out and has 10 points and 4 rebounds. And he was really a key reason why they win that game. And from that point on, it was like, okay, if we need somebody that's going to be a secondary post defender, we're bringing in Bonzi Colson. And in the ACC tournament, the semifinals of the ACC tournament that year, Mike Bray said, Zach August got in foul trouble. We're not going to worry about Zach August being on the bench. We're bringing in Bonzi Colson. He's 6'5", maybe 6'6", and he's going to defend Jahlil Okafor, who at that time was the ACC Player of the Year at Duke. He was a top 3 draft pick, and he defended Jahlil Okafor. Now, he wore himself out, and he was absolutely gassed, but I don't think Notre Dame gets to the ACC Tournament Championship game that year and eventually wins against North Carolina without hit what Bonzi did against Duke that Friday night in Greensboro.
You know, Tom, it just sounds like he's such a big character guy that he's going to go and you know, take the opportunity no matter where the coach is going to play him. If he's going to try to play him point guard, he's going to take it. But one of the things that really I found Bonzi Colson watching him over the last few years here in Europe and what I think he will bring to Maccabi Tel Aviv, there was once a player by the name of David Blutenthal, David Blue, who played for Maccabi Tel Aviv on a number of occasions, and he was that guy that, again, he was that undersized center. He's like 6 foot six, 230, 235 pounds. He was able to always knock down the big three-pointer. If you needed a big three-pointer, it was, you know, it could have gone to the hands of a Tyrese Rice or Ricky Hickman in 2014, both excellent shooters. Somehow, it was always David Blue who had that big shot. And he seems to be a very – and I bet you – I don't know if you know this, but David Blatt, of course, who coached in the NBA a little bit with the Cleveland Cavaliers, is now also a consultant with Maccabi Tel Aviv, came back as the chairman of the professional committee. So he's helping build the actual squad itself. I bet you – and that was a team that he coached in 2014 – he must have seen a little bit of David Blue in Bonzi Colson, I'm pretty sure, Tom.
Absolutely. Like, going back to when he played at the prep school in Rhode Island, going back to the AAU circuit and in his 4 years at Notre Dame, it was always the ball just kind of finds its way into Bonzi's hands, and he always just finds a way to do something, whether it's making a big shot, getting a big rebound, getting a big defensive rebound, making a block shot on the defensive end. Like, he's just a basketball player who makes winning basketball plays, and that's contagious around guys that he played with here and will definitely be contagious over there with the team that he's around. Like, you can just pencil in, doesn't matter how tall he is, doesn't matter who he's playing against, doesn't matter the level of competition, you can pencil in he's going to get double figures for points and rebounds every single night. You're going to look up and say, he didn't think he really did that much, but by this looks of the stat sheet, he had another productive evening.
Yeah. That's what I think what Maccabi Tel Aviv is looking forward to seeing, and I'm sure we are here in Israel too. Tom Noy, of course, IndieInsider.com. Check him out on Twitter as well. Tom, this is great. Appreciate you coming on board with us today, and hopefully you have a good vacation the rest of the summer, and hopefully we'll speak to you soon after that.
Let's talk more hoops, Josh. Take care.
You're listening to The Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're back here with The Sports Rabbi, Josh Halleckman. That was a great conversation with Tom Noy. Really thankful that he came on to talk to us about Bonzi Coles and what Maccabi Tel Aviv fans and, of course, fans of Israeli basketball can expect of the Notre Dame product. But right now we bring on Moshe Halleckman, and we have a ton to talk about. Lots of news going on in the Israeli sports scene. Coming up with basketball Thursday night, Israel in Lublin, Poland. They are playing the hosts in a World Cup qualifier. Very important game for Israel, who sit 2-2 in the World Cup qualifying group, along with Germany and Estonia. Sunday night, they will be playing Estonia. Of course, that game will be at the drive-in, and that will be here in Israel. So, very important pair of games coming up. We're also going to talk about all the different signings. Bonzi Colson, of course, along with Darren Hillard and many, many more. Rafi Menko, Guy Panini, and the rest of the crew from Maccabi Tel Aviv. Paul Jerusalem brings in Oz Blazer, a couple of other signings as well. We'll talk rumors. All that with Moshe Halleckman. How are you doing today, Moshe?
Doing well. A lot of big signings in Israeli basketball, and it's good we have that, because otherwise it's pretty boring without games. And at least very soon we're going to have Israel national team games, so that would fill in that part.
Well, I got to tell you, we've had games, right? In the last 2 weeks, we've had a game a week. We had the under-20 against Poland, then we had the under-20 against the senior national team. Wasn't much of a game on Friday, but we got to see the first glimpse of the Israel national team, Moshe, and they pretty much pared down to the 14-man roster. Denny Avdia, for those wondering if he is with the team, he is not with the team. But there are tons of other players that are with the team. John DiBartolomeo, of course, made his way back from the United States. He is with the team as a naturalized Israeli. Yam Madar playing at Partizan Belgrade. He is with the team. Tomer Ginat, who just signed with Hapoel Tel Aviv, also with the team. Rafi Menko just signed with Maccabi Tel Aviv. He is with the team, too. There are a ton of players, lots of guards. Gal Mekel, Bar Timor, and, of course, Bar Timor. We have a special interview coming out on Wednesday with Bar Timor, both in English and Hebrew. It's a very big interview, full length. I think you'll enjoy it. It was a good interview, Moshe, wasn't it, with Bar Timor?
Definitely, and it's really interesting to hear a player like that went through so much in Israeli basketball, if it's winning historic championships, cups, even now having a podcast. He's a very interesting Israeli basketball player, and we don't see many players like that really come out in public, have a podcast, and I think it's one of the more interesting interviews we did. There's a lot to learn from it, and you should stay tuned to that.
Right, other players on the squad that we didn't mention, Tamir Blatt and Yovel Zussman, both coming over from Alba Berlin, Yiftach Ziv as well. Guy Panini, Nimrod Levy, Roman Sorkin, Idan Zalmanson, also full roster for head coach Guy Gudas. Right now, we just got the report. The team landed a few hours ago. They held a practice in the gym in Lublin that does not have air conditioning, and it's 30 degrees centigrade outside. So it's pretty hot, and it's even hotter in that gymnasium. On Wednesday, the national team will be visiting the Majdanek death camp, which is really right almost in the city of Lublin. I was there 30 years ago, so I know that that's going to be an emotional moment for the team. I spoke to some of the team officials, and they know that it's going to be very emotional for the players. You know, the hope, obviously, that they will get a lot out of that visit. but also they are in Poland to take care of business themselves by winning the basketball game. Moshe, the two upcoming games, Israel sitting at 2-2 right now. They lost both of their last two games when they played in Germany and at home against Germany. So that, you know, games that they could have won, Israel has to take these two games. They've beaten Poland already. They've beaten Estonia already. These are two musts if they want to have any chance of really qualifying. Forget about not only the next stage, group stage of the World Cup qualifiers, but to be in a position where they may qualify for the World Cup itself as all the records roll over to the next round. So they really want to have any chance. They've got to go 4-2. They've got to win both of these games.
Yes, and Israel has the quality to do so. So yes, there isn't any Avdija right now, but you have Tamir Blatt and Yovel Zussman coming to upgrade the national team. That's huge. Tamir Blatt played in the last game against Germany, but except that, he didn't play recently, and Yovel Zussman wasn't in the national team for a while, so to have two EuroLeague players like that, plus all the players who played with Maccabi Tel Aviv in the EuroLeague in the past season, except Jay Cohen, which we're talking about, Oz Blazer, who just moved to Hapoel Jerusalem, John Di Bartolomeo, except that Roman Sorkin, obviously, plus Yam Adar, who's going to play for a EuroLeague team, Partizan Belgrade, and many more top-quality players from the Israeli league. So Israel really have a lot of good players, and they should find the way to win, and definitely against Estonia at home, but also before that against Poland. They have the quality to win. There's no reason they shouldn't. So Poland do have a few more upgrades with players coming in, like right. Mateusz Ponitka, but Israel still have more quality, and I think they need to find the way to win both of these games. Another player that played in the EuroLeague last season, and I didn't mention before, is Yiftach Ziv. So Israel really have the depth here, and whoever won't be listed would be a player that could have easily be listed, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, we asked Guy Gudis about that in the press conference. You know, he has a problem, because who's he going to list? They have a glut of guards. They have six guards. Somebody's going to not be listed from the guards, there's no question. I mean, they can't go into the game with six guards. And not only Ponitka is going to be playing, you have AJ Slaughter, who's very good. And he's going to have to be stopped. Mikhail Sokolovsky also, all those three players were not with Poland the last time they played. But Israel has the quality to take this game, and Poland has some bigs. But again, the blue and white really, you know, should have the better talented team. But again, they're going to be on foreign soil. They're going to be in a gym that's going to be packed with Polish fans. There's no love for the Israeli team, for sure. It's going to be a very tough game. Now, when they play Estonia on Sunday, you know, I'm expecting, you know, Israel should take care of business fairly. I don't want to say easily, but they should take care of business. Estonia is not a bad team. They're good, but that should be a different game. Of course, we'll talk a little bit about that before the game itself on Sunday. But Moshe, if you had to put some guesses here, Israel's going to win this game. They're going to come home in a good shape.
I believe, yes. I think Israel proved over the past few years that they don't lose games they're not supposed to, really, except the games against Germany. It's rare that Israel made mistakes in the past few years. So I believe Israel can really come in and win the game against Poland, which would give a massive boost to the home game against Estonia.
If you had to guess, the two players that aren't going to be listed, Oz Blazer and Yiftach Ziv?
Okay, so Yiftach Ziv is one, and I don't know if Oz Blazer... I'm going to guess Guy Pnini.
No way. What are you? Oh, no. Team,
but it doesn't mean he'll play. That's my opinion. I think Guy Gudis is going to want, in the game itself, 12 players he knows he could get, immediate things on the court from him. I'm not sure Guy Pannini could give him that guarantee.
No, but
so Guy Panini's there. It doesn't mean
that Guy Pannini played 13, 14 minutes in that exhibition game against the under 20. Oz Blazer played less. I'm very doubtful that Oz Blazer is going to play this game.
But I think Oz Blazer is a player that may have a future very soon in the national team, and I think Gudas would want to try him in games like this. Very soon we have the Eurobasket, and I'm almost sure that Gudas would at least want to give him one chance to see what he's worth for the national
team. I can't see Guy Gudas wasting Guy Panini's time and telling him, here, come on the flight, we're not going to dress you. I see that smile. I don't see it.
There are games in the playoffs against Hapoel Jerusalem that Guy Panini barely played, so I think there's definitely a chance that Gudas would tell him, you're not playing, and I think Gudas would not, Panini would know how to accept that. As hard as it is, as disappointing as it is, I think Guy Panini may be the guy sitting out with Yiftach Ziv, because the reason I don't think Yiftach Ziv would play, at the end of the day, Gudas needs to know he has guaranteed players who could shoot a three-point shot, and Yiftach Ziv's percentages aren't good at all.
But Guy Panini's percentage from three is good. Better than Oz Blazer.
In the past season, it's not good at all also, if you look at that. But who knows? We know Guy Panini's a winner, and he could give also good passes on the court.
He's like another coach on the court. Moshe, Guy Panini's going to be listed in this game.
But Oz Blazer could give stuff also, and I think Guy Gudas would want to try him.
All right. Well, we'll see. On the offensive side, I'll say this: Gal Mekel didn't play in the last two games, or he didn't play. You know, he was injured.
The last game.
Right. And Nimrod Levy has really been Israel's best player in the World Cup qualifying, by far, I think. I mean, he's really been solid, and he's also showed that in this exhibition game once again, that he is going to get his rebounds, he's going to get his points. It's interesting because we've seen him for his club teams. He was not successful with Maccabi Tel Aviv, wasn't great with Hapoel Jerusalem, but when he's with smaller teams, Ashdod, Nes Ziona, Galil Elyon, he's been very good. And here the Israel team, which is a big team, he's good.
Yes, something good is happening to Nimrod Levy in the last year. He was the best Israeli player in the league at Hapoel Galil Elyon. Many people thought it's a bad decision for his career, like many other decisions he made. And people were like, let's see if he could lead this small team that just went up a league. But he led them to the playoffs. He had an excellent year. He really showed everything he could do, if it's taking rebounds, if it's shooting three-pointers, if it's finishing from inside. And more than that, he turned into a key player in the national team. Now, if you go a year back and you ask who are the players that are probably guaranteed to be in the roster for the Eurobasket, then Nimrod Levy is not a name you would say. You may say that he has a chance to get into that Eurobasket squad, but definitely not that he's the guaranteed player in it. But today, Nimrod Levy looks right now as a guaranteed player in the Eurobasket squad. Again, if he doesn't get injured, because what he's giving to the national team, and we've seen this in the small exhibition game, is a lot. Nimrod Levy's in great form for the whole past year, and he's going to continue bringing it to the national team. And if there won't be any injuries, then there's no reason we won't see him also in the Eurobasket.
All right, of course, we're on here with Moshe Halachman talking Israeli basketball. Let's shift gears here to the signings, okay? Maccabi Tel Aviv, we've got to start with them. And I may forget a player here that signed, because there's been every day for the last week. Rafi Menko, Guy Panini, Darren Hilliard, Bonzi Colson, I know I'm missing, Alex Poitras, who else am I missing over here? There's been other players that are rumored, yeah. Lorenzo Brown rumored, Wade Baldwin rumored, Josh Nebo rumored, what are Maccabi Tel Aviv going to do with Keenan Evans, TJ Leaf rumored, you know, Rafi Menko, of course, was the latest signing. On the other end, Oz Blazer departs Maccabi Tel Aviv, heads to Hapoel Jerusalem. Retino Baswan, not retained by Jerusalem. thoughts about Maccabi Tel Aviv's summer so far? The Sports Rabbi sees a lot of ifs. if Bonzi Colson can raise his level to EuroLeague from the Champions League. Now, Tom Noy, you heard him say that he believes he will have no problem doing that. Darren Hilliard, how is he going to come back from an injury-riddled season last year? Rafi Menko, this is a big step up. How is he going to be able to take this chance to grab it with two hands after playing for Apollo Kelowna, winning a championship? Guy Panini coming back won't be a major factor for the team. Alex Poitras discussed last week. This is going to be a chance for him to be really the leading center. There's a lot of names still out there, Moshe. So thoughts, first of all, on some of the signings. Where do you see this Maccabi team as of right now? Austin Hollins, another player. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot about Austin Hollins. He also signed. Now, is he going to be able to, play the way that we know he's able to play? Didn't have a superb season last year in Red Star, finished off strong, but, definitely took his time to find his place. Where are these guys fitting in here? And then we'll go to the rumored players.
Maccabi as a club already got their target done for this summer, which is to build a promising enough squad that the fans would buy season tickets. And we know how disappointed the fans are with the last years of Maccabi Tel Aviv, and especially the past season. But the management already has here a promising enough squad to sell to the fans, and that's something good for them. Now, would this connect on the court? I don't know, but the first and most important thing inside the squad is that it's full of many players with experience in the EuroLeague that are legitimate EuroLeague players and that have potential to be even better than what they showed, which is Alex Poitras, who's definitely a legitimate EuroLeague player, a decent EuroLeague center. Both ends of the court is what it looks like he could bring to the team. If Josh Nebo comes also, then he had a pretty good first season in the EuroLeague, although he played on a very weak Žalgiris team. But we know how much power Josh Nebo has in the paint, as he played in Apoel Eilat over a year ago. If we look at the shooting guard position, then Darren Hilliard's an excellent signing when fit. But we need to remember, he's coming kind of onto the position of Scotty Wilbekin / James Nunnally. And he's obviously not a better player than Wilbekin. There's not many better players than Wilbekin in Europe. And we don't know if Darren Hilliard would be fit for most of the games, and that's a big, big question mark. But if he's fit, then he's gonna give a lot to the team, as he's an excellent shooter. Austin Hollins coming into that position also is a player who could have very, very good games sometimes, but he's not consistent enough that you'll know what you'll get from him each game. Although he does look like a good defender for the team, so there's definitely a lot of promising stuff on that end for Oded Katash. Bonzi Colson is a signing I love, a player with so much potential. He showed it in the Champions League, and now he needs to adjust to the EuroLeague, and it won't be easy. I don't think he should be expected to be a star in the first season, but he could definitely be a legitimate EuroLeague player already now.
I'll say this. Again, there's a lot of ifs and what ifs and cans, and we'll have to see how it plays out. Now, the one thing that we do see is that Oded Katash is definitely building a team that he wants, a team that plays off the pick and roll a ton. You're going to see a lot of screens, and that's why there's the shooters that Maccabi already signed. Let's talk a little bit about some of the players that are still rumored. Lorenzo Brown, coming from Kazan, was let go by Kazan a couple days ago. Point guard, had a very, very good season last year in Russia. Just played really, above the level that we've seen from him. Unstoppable, actually, but he needs the ball in his hands. Wade Baldwin, again, had good years with Baskonia, good year in Bayern Munich, but he's also only been around teams for a year apiece, and there's definitely, you're going to have to see how he can adjust. And there were definitely some concerning issues about him, especially in Bayern Munich, listening to a Daniel Bassi interview where he talks about he picked up 12 technicals in the playoff round. That's a lot of technicals. That's going to be he's a tough nut to crack. We're going to see what's going to happen with him. Josh Nebo is very similar to Alex Poitras. Now, TJ Leaf can't shoot a three-pointer, and he's coming in as a four. Bonzi Colson's a four that can shoot a three-pointer. You saw that when he hit one over Itai Sekov's head in the Basketball Champions League against Apollon Jerusalem. But, TJ Leaf, I do think TJ Leaf could be successful. I know that you and others don't see him being a very big success here. I understand those concerns, and as more I think about it, yeah, it could be a concern. The fact that he doesn't shoot three-pointers is a huge concern. And the fact to me that Josh Nebo is a similar player. Again, I like Josh Nebo. I think he's a very good player. But he's very similar to Alex Poitras in the way that they play. Don't you want to give your team a little bit of a different look, especially when you're playing opponents, and change things up a little bit?
That's what Roman Sorokin could give. And we need to remember, the right team has Roman Sorokin, who could play as a center and power forward, even though I just don't see him turning into a power forward long term in his career. It looks like he's really going to the direction of a center and less shooting threes, as you can't really trust his shooting from outside in the past 2 years, you can say. And I think it's a not bad idea to have two players that are almost the same, Nebo and Poitras. I think that's really what Maccabi Tel Aviv needs, two big men that you'll know what you'll get from them each and every game. Except that, with players rumored to the team, then TJ Leaf, so he played in the NBA, he has a lot of talent, more talent than any other Israeli player around, probably except Deni Avdija. But again, he played now in China, and he didn't play enough in the NBA to call him a legitimate NBA player. And we see how many players from the NBA struggle when they come to Europe and to the EuroLeague, at least for one season. Long term, he may be a decent EuroLeague player, but on the first season already, I'm not sure how this could adjust. It seems like he could shoot for free, but not something consistent or something more in the direction of Roman Sorokin, that you don't really know what you'll get from him. And that's a big problem, but at least Maccabi Tel Aviv made other moves in the Israeli market, as after Tomer Ginad didn't sign, they got Guy Panini's experience back, and they got Rafi Menko, which I like a lot, because he showed he could be an important player on a winning team, like he did with Hapoel Holon, winning the championship, starting games on fire from outside, bringing a lot of energy, taking rebounds, getting to the Champions League Final Four as a crucial player for the team, in a team full of foreigners. And he was an important Israeli player in a team like that. And he could definitely do that in Maccabi Tel Aviv also. And I believe he could be a role player for Maccabi Tel Aviv in the EuroLeague, and that he could surprise many people.
Do you think he's going to be more successful than Oz Blazer was in Maccabi Tel Aviv? Now you have to look, Oz Blazer, his first season was not bad. This past season was not very good. Is Rafi Menko going to be better than Oz Blazer?
I think yes. Yeah, really. In short, I definitely think he could do a better job than Oz Blazer, just because I see the past season of Menko and how he was an important player on a team playing in Europe, in a team succeeding in Europe, in a team that wins a championship. And Oz Blazer did do very nice stuff before he came to Maccabi, as he got to the finals of a league for a few times and to the cup, but he didn't take titles before. And Menko already this season showed he could take a title. More than that, he showed he could be an important player in Europe. As Blazer, with Maccabi Rishon LeZion in the Euro Cup, it didn't really go out good. And those are really the reasons why I see Menko really lighting up Yadi Eliahu in the upcoming season.
All right. Speaking of Osblazer, he signs a 2-year deal with Hapoel Jerusalem. Hapoel Jerusalem said goodbye to Willie Workman and to Reten Obasawan today. Moshe, Osblazer coming to Jerusalem. What are your thoughts? You know, is he a better player than Willie Workman? Willie Workman seems to have had the better season last year. I believe Willie Workman's contract was probably more than what Osblazer is going to be getting here at Jerusalem, and that may have been one of the issues. I'm really sad to see Reten Obasawan go. The guy, you know, was, you know, just a good, good player. I mean, he had, you know, listen, he was a scorer. He was a driver. He could, you know, sometimes he didn't have his shot on, but he always gave you 3 billion%. He was a gamer, positive, was just a great guy to cover, was fun, was entertaining. He'll be missed at Jerusalem, I think. And they decided to go a different way. I don't know how, you know, if there's budget, you know, they're saying that the budget is bigger than last season. You know, right now, the moves that are being made, I don't know if that really corresponds to a budget being bigger than last season. There were some rumors to Levi Randolph, leading scorer in the Champions League last year, coming to Jerusalem, played at Alabama. What are your thoughts so far here on Jerusalem and how Alexander Djikic is building the squad along with, of course, Guy Harrell?
This is a perfect situation for Blazer. He's coming out of Maccabi Tel Aviv as he feels he's a better player, and now he just wants to show it in a high level, and Jerusalem is definitely the place to show that. And Jerusalem are earning a player that got such important experience with Maccabi in the EuroLeague, so I really think it's a good fit for both sides. Seeing Reten Obasawan go is definitely tough. I mean, the guy was one of the best players in the Israeli league, making the starting five of the season, and that's not enough to stay. Now, I get it. He's not a pure point guard, and that's why the team didn't want to keep him. But
yeah, that's one thing that Djikic said straight out, that he wants to get a point guard and then build a team around it. I mean, he said first they have to deal with the Israelis. That was the first thing, point guard. He's, you know, doing those things. We'll see if Justin Cobbs will come. That was a rumor that we brought out, you know, something that we had heard and from some sources in Serbia. And that's, you know, also been floated around by other journalists as well, being rumored. So we're going to see if that ends up happening. But that's definitely on the table for Hapoel Jerusalem. But that, you can figure, is going to be there. You know, Levi Randolph's a nice player. They're going to go, though, for a guard at some point here very soon.
Yes, and probably the answer about Reten Obasawan not staying is, I assume Djikic was thinking, could he find a way to have Obasawan without the team being damaged in the point guard position? And probably the answer wasn't good for that, as you have him and Noam Dovrat, and if you want another point guard, it would be really hard to combine everything. So I assume Jerusalem believed they need someone that may not give stuff Obasawan brings, but that could bring a better way to manage the game and pass to the other players. And if we look at Osblazer again, then is it an upgrade on Willie Workman? I think in a certain way, probably yes. Because on one hand, Willie Workman did have technically a better season. But Osblazer has the ability to shoot threes, to score threes. And Willie Workman, his percentages are very low for free, and he still took shots, even though he's very limited on that end of a court, shooting threes. So I think the potential Jerusalem get with Blazer is bigger. Now, I don't know if it was a good idea to get rid of Workman. It really depends on other players Jerusalem could get, because if Blazer is instead of him, then that's fine. But if Jerusalem are also getting rid of Adam Ariel now, then I think we're going to struggle to find better options. And in my opinion, Willie Workman gives more than Adam Ariel. He may not give a shot Adam Ariel.
Well, Adam Ariel is rumored to be on his way out.
Yes.
Also here. So he may be heading over
and
to a
full. That's why it may be a mistake getting rid of Workman. Because who knows if they'll find players to replace Willie Workman and Adam Ariel. Because if you're getting rid of both and Oz Blazers coming for now instead of Workman, then what does it mean about Adam Ariel? Is only a foreigner coming instead of him? Is an Israeli also coming instead? And if yes, who is that Israeli? Because I don't really know which Israelis could be in the market for Jerusalem in that position after they're getting rid of Willie Workman. So that's a big question mark for me. And yes, Adam Ariel has advantages of being a captain, growing up in the club, having a pretty good three-point shot that knew better seasons than the last one, but it's still a very good shot, and he's a winner who could score the big shots and the money time. But except that, he doesn't bring a lot to the court. The Willie Workman gives much more if it's rebounding, finishing inside the paint, defense. So it's a big question mark to me. But if Jerusalem get one foreigner that could really play those minutes, then it's fine in my opinion. If we're looking for an Israeli instead of any one of them, then I don't really know who they're going to find, and that could look like a mistake to me. But we'll see what they do.
All right, so let's take a quick look around the league at other signings here, Moshe. Today, Hapoel Haifa sign Anthony Hickey, point guard, played with Astana last season at really amazing numbers. Very short point guard, 1.8 meters. Looks like a good player, good signing for Sharon Drucker. Again, the one thing I'd just be concerned is that he's short. Wasn't Sharon Drucker against bringing in short point guards? Don't we remember that when he was with B'nai Herzliya?
Honestly, I don't remember. But one thing I do know is that Hickey's numbers are amazing, but he played in a team that, if I'm not wrong, won two games all season. So we need to take everything in the right
into account here.
Yes. So let's really see how he would be here. But he looks very promising to me. I mean, he looks like a player that could be one of the best players in this league. And maybe, except the outside shot, as it seems, he has everything on the court.
All right, some other rumors floating around here. Walking Shukman going from Eilat to Hapoel Be'er Sheva. Speaking of Hapoel Be'er Sheva, Ben Mamam signed a long-term contract. He was with the under-20 team last year. So we're going to see where he... Under-18 team last year, so we'll see how that goes. What other rumors have been floating around out there, Moshe, that we can bring up? I know Dante Exum had been rumored by Yaakov Meir, going to Barcelona.
Gilbert Galil, maybe Miron Ruina to Gilbert Galil. Something that we posted first is Amit Zis to Gilbert Galil. So all kinds of these physical, talented Israeli players with potential that Rami Hadar wants to connect into his team in Gilbert Galil. So I really like that. And on that end, it looks like Yotam Chanochi may be going out of Gilbert Galil for the first time in his career. And we need to see which team he'll go to. A signing I really like is Karim Ashour in Kiryat Atta, the newcomers to the league. Now, Karim Ashour, I think when Kiryat Atta signed him, the dream they see in their eyes is that Karim Ashour gives a season like Nimrod Levy did now for Galil Elyon. And Karim Ashour has the potential to do that. He used to be a superstar in B'nai Herzliya, and really going to Maccabi Tel Aviv started to ruin his career a bit, you could say. But then, after a few years, he went to Hapoel Haifa, newcomers to the league, had a very good season, and then again, in the last year, it got stopped. Now, if Karim Ashour gives what he gave for Hapoel Haifa, I'm not sure if it would be enough for Kiryat Atta, because it's hard for me to see which other top Israelis they could attract. But if he's able to give almost what Nimrod Levy gave in the past season to Galil Elyon, then Kiryat Atta would be in a very good spot to actually have a good season.
Big men. Gilad Levy, under 20, very big man. Going to be playing in Israel this year. Rumors started about Jerusalem is a potential place. Gilboa Galil, a potential place. Where is Gilad Levy going to show up here? He's a 7-footer, was with Estudiantes over the last few seasons, honing his skills. We've seen him play. He could play in the top league here without a question.
Yes. Now, is he ready for Apol Jerusalem now? That's a question yet to be answered. And I really doubt it would happen with Apol Jerusalem. Maybe they would get him and loan him out, because Apol Jerusalem right now may continue with Itai Segev, which is the big question mark of the summer. Are they going to wait for Gabi Chachashvili? And if yes, would Gabi Chachashvili want to come? Because if no, then Itai Segev's a decent option in the center position.
Well, let's just say this for a minute about Gabi Chachashvili. He's with the Golden State Warriors Summer League team. He's going to have a lot of eyes on him. So, and that, not only the Golden State Warriors are going to be looking at him, right? Because he's playing for their team. The entire European basketball market is going to be at the Summer League. So it's not just Israeli teams that are going to see him. It's going to be teams all over Europe that's going to see him. This is a player that Maccabi Tel Aviv really should have kind of snatched up already, you know, even last season, and then try to loan him out. Like, this is a player you got to figure that has a lot of potential, came to basketball at a, you know, at a later age. We have a piece about him, that an interview that was done, of course, earlier in the season with Gabi Chachashvili, both in English and Hebrew. You know, maybe Maccabi Tel Aviv really, you know, should have locked this guy up, could have loaned him out somewheres, but who knows, Moshe? He may end up in, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona. I don't know. I mean, you know, some team may see him in Spain. You know, they're going to see him at the Summer League play, and they're going to be like, whoa, what's going on here? Or even the Warriors will say, you know, we're going to sign you a contract. We're going to send you down to the G League, and we're going to see what you can do. Remember, with Gabi Chachashvili, I don't think there's any army issues at this point. He's past the age. Whereas Gilad Levy, that's one of the reasons why he's back in Israel, because he has to be here for the army. So, you know, thoughts about that is, I don't know, Maccabi Tel Aviv, you know, should have, you know, Maccabi Tel Aviv is the team that we all think are supposed to get these top talents. And here again, this guy may have, you know, they did get Roman Sorkin at the time last year, but this is a talent that may have slipped through their hands, slipped through their fingers.
Yes, well, Noam Dovrat slipped out of her fingers last year. It didn't even look like they tried too much for him. And speaking of Gabi Chachashvili, one thing I love saying about Chachashvili, because it's just true, is that the guy has no disadvantage in his game. Yes, he's far from being perfect in everything, but he is not bad at any aspect of a game, and that's already an excellent base to start with from a young Israeli center. Now, do Maccabi Tel Aviv get him and keep him, or do they loan him out? That's already a question you do after you get him. First, you need to get the guy, and then, because he's such a talented player, I think that's good problems to have. What you do with Gabi Chachashvili, do you loan him out, or do you give him the chance in the EuroLeague? But not battling for him, that's a big problem of Maccabi Tel Aviv, and a player like him, like you said, he may go to some European team, or who knows, maybe under the radar, he'll go into the NBA, and Maccabi Tel Aviv are going to miss out on that. That's a big loss of Maccabi Tel Aviv, and it's not the first time they're losing these battles, if they're even inside the battles. Like they lost Tomer Ginat recently. Again, they didn't have too much control over that. They gave him a great offer. But a player like Tomer Ginat, more than that he loves Apol Tel Aviv, he also sees that in the last years, there's not many Israeli players that succeed in Maccabi Tel Aviv, and it definitely gives him motivation not to come. So a player like Gabi Chachashvili, I don't know if he would run to Maccabi Tel Aviv, but first, they need to give her 100%. trying to bring him. If a guy could give the team a lot if you loan him out, and even if you keep him for the first season, give him the minutes in the league, maybe try him in the EuroLeague and see from there where you could go. Because a guy like this, like I said, maybe under the radar would end up, who knows, in the NBA.
Well, Moshe, did we miss anything over here? Any other rumors or things flying around here before we close it up? If not, you can give us your Twitter address, and people can hit you up if they have any questions. Anything else we forgot to mention in this jam-packed show?
So I'm trying to think, but in any case, the Twitter is at MoBlueLion. Freddy Bourdion staying with Apollo Cholon, an important move by the club. Except that, and what we spoke about, I really hope we didn't miss out on anything. But
I think we'll
read it on the website.
Maximum, you read it on the website. Of course, me at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest, greatest news in Israeli sports, both in English and Hebrew. We bring it to you in both languages. Moshe, thanks so much for coming on board. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, and we'll see you or on the website or in the next podcast.